A few days ago, I took a prayer meeting. But the audio turned out rather badly, and I couldn't use it. So I thought I would record again and see if this might be profitable to more than just the few who gathered at this prayer meeting. It was in a home for retired believers. It was a small prayer meeting, but a very happy time we had in coming to the Lord. Let me record at least something along the lines of what I said that morning. I was given 10 minutes, and I want to speak for 10 minutes upon Colossians 1:18. That in all things he might have the preeminence. The he, of course, is Christ. That in all things Christ might have the preeminence, the glory, the praise. When I was invited to take this meeting, the man, his name was John, when he booked me for this occasion, he said, "It's only 10 minutes. He said, "You're at liberty to take any subject you like." He said, "You could take a testimony, a missionary talk, or a passage of scripture, or any subject you like." Well, it wasn't long after when the phone went down that it dawned on me what I would take. Now, I'm not taking a subject. I'm taking the subject. This is not any old subject. This, it seems to me, is the subject in Scripture. That in all things, Christ might have the glory, the preeminence. And in all things, he might have the preeminence. I said, "Well, now, this is a prayer meeting. And what are we going to pray about? We're going to pray for the advancement of the gospel. We're going to pray for people's particular needs. We're going to pray for this and that and the other. But what's the motive? What's the end? What's the purpose of our prayers? What are we going to ask for? What's the reasoning behind it?" Well, here's the reason. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. Let all our prayers, not only in this prayer meeting, of course, let all our prayers be directed to this end, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. That's a subject for a prayer meeting. That's surely the subject. In all my prayers, that Christ might have the preeminence. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if in all our churches Christ had the preeminence? We know that nearly all the church confessions say that Christ is the King of the church. Oh yes, that's true. But what if he really was the King of the church in practical terms for us? What if Christ, in all things in the churches, had the preeminence? It wasn't man and the promotion of man and his glory and his talents and his abilities. It was the exaltation of Jesus Christ. What if the churches were really like that? What a difference that would make. In all things, in every practical affair, in all our doctrine and understanding, in all our administrations, Jesus Christ, preeminent. Wonderful, wouldn't it? What if Christ was preeminent in our preaching? Wouldn't that be a very wonderful thing? If Christ was preeminent whenever we preached, whenever we opened our lips to declare the gospel. I've had enough of lectures on this and that and the other. Doctrine is a very wonderful thing. Nobody can fault me or beat me at loving doctrine. The importance of it. Oh yes, the practical things like that and doctrine, yes, very important. And eldership, and no doubt, and church government, very much, yes, very much importance. But in all our preaching, brothers and sisters, let it be that Jesus Christ gets the preeminence. Spurgeon once said, you know, to his students, whatever you preach about 40 minutes. And I see good sense in that. But I have another suggestion. If I could address any young man wanting to preach, whatever you preach, brother, make sure you preach Jesus Christ. For he is in all the scriptures, Luke 24. You will find him everywhere, and he is exalted everywhere. So preach him, that in all things Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. Oh, I want to see sinners saved, do you? Oh, I want to see saints sanctified, do you? Edified, yes, I do. Well, then you preach Jesus Christ and see him preeminent in all things, and you'll see sinners saved, perhaps. And you'll see saints sanctified, perhaps. No, there's no perhaps about it. You won't see Jesus Christ exalted unless you do preach for him to have the preeminence. And as he gets the preeminence, sinners will be saved, and the saints will be sanctified and edified. In any case, Jesus Christ will get the preeminence. Even if sinners reject him, you get the preeminence in his judgment of them. In all things, let Jesus Christ have the preeminence in our preaching, brother, in our lifting up of Christ, in our witness for Christ, in all things. In all things, Jesus should have the preeminence. What about our lives? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. What about Francis Ridley Havergal? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Take my lips, take my hands, take my feet, take my intellect, take my silver and my gold, take my love, take my all, take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, that in all things Jesus Christ might have the preeminence and the glory. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head. Oh, that my soul could love him more. His beauties trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice, and all his will esteem. In all things, in my life, that Christ should have the preeminence. I want to be sanctified. I want to grow like Christ, and get Jesus Christ exalted in our lives. Give him the preeminence. Christ is all, and he will sanctify us and make us a witness for his glory. Just now I mentioned the salvation of sinners, and let me close with this. Do you know why I want to see sinners saved? Well, I'm commanded, and so are you, brother and sister, to take the gospel into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. Therefore, the gospel must be preached for sinners to be saved. Now, why do we want to see sinners saved? Well, we want them eternally happy, don't we? Not only happy now, but happy forever. Oh, yes, we do. And if any sinner is listening to me, any unbeliever is listening to me, I mean, because we're all sinners, but if any unbeliever is listening to me, of course I want you to be eternally happy. And you'll only be eternally happy if you're in Christ, saved by him. But why do I really want to see sinners saved? Well, it is for their eternal happiness, but above all, it's for the reason that God designed the new covenant, designed the gospel, for the reason for why Jesus came into the world. What's that? That he might save sinners. Why? That he might be exalted and form a people conformed to himself for the glory of Christ. And all is conspiring to lift Jesus on high, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's why sinners should be saved. Do you know, unbeliever, your biggest offense? That you do not give Christ the preeminence. He hasn't had the glory in all things. It's like Martin Luther said, do you know who the great Pope is? Not that old man living in the Vatican. That great Pope is self, he said. Self is our God. My way, my reasoning, my thoughts, my arguments, my ideas. Oh, that's me. But when a sinner is brought to Christ, it's Christ, Christ, Christ. And that's the glory of the gospel, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. Well, as I said, I didn't take this as a subject. It is the subject. In all we do and say anything, may we say, in everything, may Jesus Christ have the preeminence. Amen.